Do you know how to code? If you're not a self-described computer person, you might think programming is not for you. But Michael Littman is here to tell you, whoever you are, that you could benefit from learning a computer language or two. And it's easier than you think. Michael is a university professor of computer science at Brown University and division director of information and intelligent systems at the National Science Foundation. And he joins us now to share the big ideas from his book, Code to Joy, Why Everyone Should Learn a Little Programming.
Hi, I'm Michael Littman, author of Code to Joy, Why Everyone Should Learn a Little Programming. I'm also a professor of computer science at Brown University and a longtime contributor to the academic field of artificial intelligence. There is a lot of talk about artificial intelligence and machine learning lately. I find it very exciting. After all, this is a topic I've been deeply involved in for the past 30 years. Wait, is that right? I got my computer as a 13-year-old in 1979. By 1984 or so, I was excited about and learning about AI and machine learning, so yikes, actually it's going to be 40 years soon. Anyway, to me, computing is one of the most interesting and exciting topics one could think about. I remember watching Carl Sagan on TV when I was young. He managed to make astronomy seem pretty interesting and even deeply important. But what has astronomy done for us lately? Computing, in its various forms, impacts us all on a daily basis, and it is changing the direction that our species and maybe even our planet is moving. Well, I mean, not moving in the way that Carl Sagan was interested in, but moving in the sense that it's changing how we relate to each other and the world we live in. So I'm finding it pretty exhilarating that suddenly every journalist, teacher, doctor, and person I meet on the subway has an opinion about AI now. I don't love it when they get some important aspects wrong, but it's so fun to talk with everyone about these ideas and their impact. Oh, speaking of which, let's talk about that. Code to Joy is about how we tell machines what to do on our behalf and how AI and machine learning can help. Understanding how that works can give you a window into how these machines do what they do and what they can do to help you. Let me share five of the key insights from my book, just to give you a little taste. Insight number one is, there are just a few kinds of bricks. An amazing fact about computers is that they are universal. The same box of circuits can act like a calculator, a camera, a phone, a TV, a book, and a tool for creating equations, images, sound, animation, and text. How do they do that? Programmability. The main task that a computer does is to follow the instructions you give it that tell it what task to do. It's very meta. You typically give the computer instructions by pointing it to instructions written by someone else. That's what you are doing when you download software and then click on it to run it. But computers give you more fine-grained control than that. You can write the specific instructions yourself. Given that computers can do practically anything, it seems like you'd have to learn an awful lot of instructions. But the awesome insight is that there are really only a handful. Just like a Lego master model builder can build anything at all using a small set of bricks, you only need a few programming concepts to build simple or complex programs. In the book, I call the building blocks commands, conditionals, variables, loops, and functions. Each one gets its own chapter because each one is useful and powerful on its own. But the real superpower comes when you learn how to combine these units in creative ways. Now, that's beyond the scope of the book, sorry. But by learning about each of these pieces in isolation, you have a fabulous foundation to build on. Insight number two is, you are already soaking in it. The building blocks I just mentioned, commands, conditionals, variables, loops, and functions, are sufficient for computing any program ever written and expressing any task imaginable. So you'd think they'd be pretty high tech. But the fact of the matter is that we use these ideas all the time. They entered human culture long before the invention of computers. When you're telling computers what to do, it's not so different from how you might go about explaining to another person how to carry out a particular task. Commands are just individual steps that can be strung together in a sequence. You see this idea in a movie script, which is a sequence of lines to read, or a piece of piano music, which is a sequence of notes to play. Conditionals are branch points that specify when it's appropriate to follow particular commands. We often convey this idea to each other using the word if. For example, Homeland Security insists, if you see something, say something. Tony Orlando sang, knock three times on the ceiling if you want me. And Winston in Ghostbusters said, when someone asks if you're a god, you say yes. Variables are stand-ins for other values. Returning to the Ghostbusters quote, the word someone is playing the role of a variable. It can stand in for whoever might be asking you the question. In the movie, it was Gozer the Gozerian. But the instruction says the same behavior should be taken no matter who asks the question. Words act as variables all the time. If I challenge you to a contest and say winner takes all, who does winner refer to? It's whoever wins, of course. So winner is standing in for that person, and so it's acting like a variable. Loops tell us to follow the same set of instructions multiple times. Drop and give me 20 is a succinct way of saying drop, do a push-up, do a push-up, do a push-up, do a push-up. Well, you get the idea. The word 20 is acting as a loop statement, telling us to repeat the implicit activity 20 times. Functions provide a way of packaging up a set of instructions and giving them a name for later reference. I remember bringing my kids to Chuck E. Cheese for a birthday party. Chuck E. would say, "When I say happy, you say boite. Happy? Happy?" He'd pause after each happy to give us a chance to yell boite. Here, happy is acting as a function, telling us to yell boite. If functions sound a little bit like variables, it's because they are. They're essentially variables that represent instructions. Insight 3 is, you can start today. Given that the basic programming blocks are already familiar, there's nothing stopping you from trying them out. Of course, it takes a lot of patience to write big, complicated, professional programs, but there are plenty of examples of simple systems that let you do practical things with just one programming block at a time nearly right away. Using the blocks in concert is a superpower that will significantly increase your capabilities. Creating online questionnaires and defining keyboard macros in the Emacs text editor can help you practice sequencing commands. The interactive fiction authoring tool Twine and trigger action programming using if this then that or Alexa routine are good ways to become comfortable thinking about splitting into different behavior using conditionals. Defining formulas in a spreadsheet or creating your own BuzzFeed quiz provides exposure to storing information in variables. Experimenting with repeating calendar events in Google Calendar, Apple Calendar, Yahoo Calendar, and other kinds of calendars, or designing your own video games with low-code online tools gives you an on-ramp to wrapping your head around consolidating instructions into loops. Finally, the grouping functionality in drawing programs and building new behaviors in Google Apps Script can reveal the value of defining functions. Insight number 4 is AI is a brick producer. There's a saying that goes, the mediocre teacher tells, the good teacher explains, the superior teacher demonstrates, the great teacher inspires. These four verbs, tell, explain, demonstrate, and inspire, map nicely onto the four principal ways we have for conveying tasks to computers. Telling corresponds to coding, the ideas like loops and variables that I mentioned earlier. But the other three are all flavors of machine learning that have been producing fantastic advances in artificial intelligence and hold the promise to greatly expand the capacity of all people to make computers more powerful and useful to themselves. The idea of explaining involves spelling out for the computer what its objective is, instead of the specific steps that are needed to carry out that objective. They essentially help people construct loops for solving a task. This kind of machine learning is known as reinforcement learning because it generally involves deciding on rewards and punishments for the machine and letting it tune its behavior to match. State-of-the-art programs for playing board games and video games use this idea, as do some commercial applications like keeping data centers cool while minimizing electricity and maximizing throughput. They're also trading stocks and optimizing supply chains, problems where it's easier for people to explain what success looks like than it is to decide on the specific steps to take to achieve it. Demonstration also plays a key role in modern computer systems. The branch of machine learning known as supervised learning produces high-performing software by example. Programs that decode speech and translate between languages are now regularly created by giving the computer giant collections of inputs and their corresponding outputs. If you see this, do this. And supervised machine learning approaches create the sequences of instructions to make it so. One kind of supervised learning solves problems by producing collections of conditional branches, known as decision trees. Another organizes intermediate computations into values of a set of variables, known as a neural network. These variables can themselves be organized into units analogous to function definitions. Telling a machine what to do via inspiration is much less common, but a number of important applications of the idea are emerging. A recent example is in generating driving directions. It's hard to tell a computer what route to pick for every possible location and destination. It's even hard to explain what the objective is. Mostly people prefer shorter routes, but they'll sometimes go a bit further if a route has fewer turns. But how many fewer? I don't know. You can demonstrate routes to the computer, but how do these generalize to new or rare location-destination pairs? What engineers are starting to do is to use a combination of demonstrating and explaining. Basically, use demonstrations of routes that people select to extract a rule that explains why they pick those routes over other possibilities. Once the computer has extracted that rule, it can apply the learned explanation to new routes. I think of that as inspiration because our examples serve as a source for the machine to do new and exciting things. Insight 5 is mashups are the way forward. Chatbots are very cool, and they can even help us program. But at the end of the day, it's still up to us to understand what we want the machine to do and to convey that message. Future programming might be a lot easier, but it still involves the same set of skills we use today. We all already use these skills when dealing with other people, so that's a great head start. But actively developing these skills will remain essential, perhaps even more so, in the age of AI. Machine learning is making it easier for people to tell machines what to do, but typically systems work by telling or explaining or demonstrating or inspiring. In contrast, when we ask other people to do something for us, we generally convey the task using a combination of these ideas, especially descriptions and examples. That's because descriptions without examples can be abstract and ambiguous, and examples without descriptions leave you to guess the intent. Both are error-prone. For example, Carl Sagan said, "The nitrogen in our DNA, the calcium in our teeth, the iron in our blood, the carbon in our apple pies were made in the interiors of collapsing stars. We are made of star stuff." So he told us that we're made of star stuff, but he also gave a handful of examples to make sure we really understood what he's conveying. Similarly, in the context of telling machines what we want them to do, combining rules and examples will be game-changing. Making it easy and reliable to guide computers to carry out our wishes is where we really see AI reaching its full potential. I hope you find these insights helpful and interesting. But more than anything, I hope you're inspired to use computers more deliberately and with a sense of self-efficacy and empowerment. After all, computers are machines to which we can delegate our will. Ooh, that sounds pretty profound, doesn't it? Delegate our will. I think Carl Sagan would be proud.
Thank you, Michael. That was Michael Littman with 5 big ideas from Code to Joy, Why Everyone Should Learn a Little Programming. You might also like our book bite for The 10 Equations That Rule the World and How You Can Use Them Too by David Sumpter. I'm Michael Kovnet. Thanks for listening.